welcome. Open your hearts to receive the words of righteousness declared to equip us against the words of darkness. Hearken to these holy words and be empowered to rule and reign.
And so this morning, we're going to continue a burden I began about 2 weeks ago. So, but we are not through with this burden yet. It's a peculiar teaching, and it's important that we are thoroughly established in an holistic understanding of knowing God. And I began teaching, so I'm going to do like a paraphrase, a recap of what I began to teach about 2 weeks ago. Then we can further our understanding in understanding and knowing God. Can we all say that word? I can't hear you. All right, so I said, and I want to say again, that understanding and knowing God is an accurate balance between knowing God's goodness and God's severity. It's an accurate balance of knowing the goodness and the mercy of God, and also knowing the judgment and severity of God. God is good, God is kind, God is merciful, God is all forgiving, but also God is a just God. God has judgments. God is righteous, and God can be severe. God chastises. And when God does that, it's a measure of his nature. And so, like I said, much of the church must move into knowing both the goodness and severity of God. Most believers start by knowing the goodness of God. And I think it's proper that you begin your Christian walk like that. If not, you're not going to do well when the Lord starts chastising you, or when you begin to come into the season of the chastening of the Lord. As Hebrews said in Hebrews 12, the Bible says that God chastens whom he loves and scourges every son that he receives. The word chastening is called discipline. And if God does not discipline you, you will be a bastard, as Paul put it in Hebrews 12. All right? And the purpose of discipline is for you to bear fruits of righteousness. Can we all say amen? I'm going to be dwelling on that. But like I said, you need to begin with a clear understanding of God's goodness, of God's loving kindness, of God's forgiving nature, of God's mercy. All right? When God is merciful, the mercy of God is actually all-encompassing. It's actually a compound. But one of the characteristics of God's mercy is that when God is merciful to you, God can excuse you from the judgment that you deserve concerning the matter. It's just God. It's his nature. You deserve this, but he pardons you. But the mercy of God, or the loving kindness of God, or the goodness of God should lead to repentance. What did I say? So when you experience the goodness and mercy of God, we are supposed to come to a place of meekness, of, how would I put it, of meekness, and to consider the Lord's way and to change. The mercy of God is supposed to lead you to repentance. The goodness of God should lead you to repentance. The mercy of God should not make you stay any longer in sin. All right? So we are trying to teach that balance. So like I said, in the New Testament, there are several words used for knowledge. But in Ephesians 4:13, please can you take me there, which it's like a very important aspect of scripture in the New Testament church. Knowledge usually has the word epignosis. And epignosis means precise and accurate knowledge. Precise and accurate knowledge. All right? Is knowledge used for things divine and ethical? So what it means is that we must know God exactly. What did I say? You're not supposed to know God generally. You're supposed to know God exactly. So that's why I said I like the word epignosis. The word epignosis also is taken from the word in the Greek epigenosko, and it means to become thoroughly acquainted with. To become thoroughly acquainted with. So God wants us to be thoroughly acquainted with his ways. Not a general knowledge of God. And this is the challenge of modern Christianity. I dare say, many believers just have a general knowledge of God. no specific, exact, accurate, decisive knowledge of who God is. But it's the desire of God that we come in to know Him as He is. Can we all say amen? Amen. So that's the old burden of growing up into perfection. According to Hebrews chapter 6 verse 1, the church is called to grow up into perfection. The word perfection there is maturity. So our understanding of God must be mature. By mature, it must be all-rounded. What did I say it must be? So you must know God of all the sides of knowing God. Now another thing I said is that the coming into the perfect knowledge of God is always in scripture in multiples of three. Three is a number of complete or completion of God. You know, it's a God number. It's a cycle, complete cycle of knowing God. It's a multiples of three. I gave you scriptures to show you Father, Son, Holy Ghost, three. You know, outer court, holy place, most holy, three. You know, Passover, Pentecost, Tabernacles, three. And we can keep going on and on at that. So God is not coincidental in His delivery of understanding to us. So three is a number of a complete cycle of knowing God. Can we all say amen? Amen. So like I also said, in having a complete knowledge of God, we must know God's person, God's power, and God's purpose. What did I say we must know? I can't hear you. Let's say that one more time. Now, God's person, power, and purpose are also threefold each. All right? That should not be confusing. Glory to God. So you must know. So the character of God or the person of God is also threefold. All right? And I'm going to show you that. Then the power of God is also threefold. And then the purpose of God is also threefold. All right? By that, you have a complete knowing of God. So let's see Jeremiah 9. These are cornerstone scripture. Right? Start from verse 23. Are you with me this morning? Yes, sir. All right. So, thus hear the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might, nor the rich man glory in his riches. But let him what? That glorieth, glory in this, that he what? Understandeth and what? Knoweth me. All right? So, all those things are good, but we are not supposed to glory in them. They don't define who you are. Your riches, your status, whatever you have on the earth does not... take me back there. It is shameful for a preacher to boast on natural riches from the pulpit. You know what I'm saying. It's very shameful. It is an aberration in the New Testament. Because our riches are not natural. If you have money, you are not... It is not a point of attention in the New Testament. Unbelievers have money. They don't know God. In fact, they have money more than you. So when a preacher boasts on wealth on pulpit, it shows that he doesn't understand what true riches are. Because I'm teaching this, that's why I say I should divert into that. All right? So all these three things are things that the world gives. God can give you, but you don't boast in them. You don't glory in them. All right? Let the wise man not glory. Let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. So this is natural wisdom that comes by learning. This is not wisdom of God that comes from above. This is natural wisdom that you have. You know, maybe by exposure, professionalism, by skill, by influence. If God gives you that, wonderful. But you don't glory in it because that's not knowing God. Right? Neither the mighty man. This natural might. This natural influence. You don't glory in natural influence. In the kingdom of God, we live opposite to those things. Can we say amen? Amen. When we have them, they don't have us. And how we know is that you don't boast in them. You don't glory in them. Let not the rich man glory in his riches. So, for you not to do all these things, it means you know what riches is. You know what might is. You know what wisdom is. Oh, nobody's saying amen. You know, might is what, you know, all this is, you know, the original version of them. So when you have them, and it's good for us to have them according to the purpose and the program of God for our lives. However, they should not have us. What did I say? And the only way they will not have you is when you know and understand God. If you know God, they will not have you. If you don't know God, they will have you. All right? Now look at verse 24. So knowing God should be the central theme of New Testament Christianity. What did I say? That should be the focus. That should be the emphasis. All right? So look at it. But let him that glorying in this, that he understands and knoweth me. So your glory is that you know God. Oh, nobody's saying amen. Your glory, your pride, if there's anything like that, is that you know God. In that I am the Lord who exercises loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness. So those are three things that constitute God's person. God's loving kindness or mercy or goodness. Can we say amen? Amen? God's judgment. And what? Righteousness. Take me to Matthew 23 verse 23. So I'm doing, like I said, I'm doing a recap. I know when you're a pastor, you have to teach things over and over again. 2 weeks, people can forget. Praise God. All right, so Jesus also called it weightier matters of the law. So look at it. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithes of mint and anise and cumin, and you have omitted the weightier matters of the law: judgment, mercy, and faith. So you can see. So mercy there is loving kindness. Judgment there is judgment. And faith is righteousness. So those are weightier matters of the law. Right? Jesus now said, this ye ought to have done and not leave the other undone. Alright, so Jesus is not saying don't tithe. He's only saying that the focus of Christianity should be what he calls the weightier matters. Can we say weightier matters? Weightier matters of the law. All right, weightier matters of the law. Weightier matters of the law. Weightier matters of the law. So those are matters that pertain to knowing God, the character of God or the person of God. And I want to say again. So when we want to talk about God's person, we're talking about God's mercy, loving kindness and goodness, God's judgment and God's righteousness. Can we all say amen? So I say knowing God is a balance between this. All right, and let me just touch the power of God. So the power of God is also threefold, right? I'm not going to go into details. Power of God is also threefold. All right. Can you mention the first one I mentioned 2 weeks ago? Power of godliness. Everybody say power of godliness. I said this is superior power. Every other power is submitted to that. That's superior power because it's power of nature. It's power that frames you to have God's nature. It's power of God. And that's God's eternal power and divine power. All right? It's power to become. All right? Power of godliness. All right? Then also, I talked about miraculous and healing power. I also call it power of acts. It's also part of God. Glory to God. You know, at times when we say children of God knew the acts of God, Moses knew the ways of God, does not mean Moses did not know the acts of God. Moses knew God's acts. Alright? And like I said, if you are coming to complete knowledge of God, you will know all the sides of God. Can we all say amen? Amen. Nobody saying amen. Amen. Alright? Then the last one I called power to get wealth. And I said it's power that brings the natural under subjection. It's also God that gives that. So all these things are God's plan for the end time church. Prophetically, the church of the last days will have all these things properly installed. Can we all say amen? Amen. The Lord is going to commit wealth to the hands of the church. But you know, when we say the Lord is committing wealth into the hands of the church, it's not a church that is given to vanity. Oh, they can't use it well. They will not be able to use it well. We are yet to see that church that they can really control wealth. And it will be as if they are not controlling wealth. You know, I used to say this. You know, everything God will do at times, there's a shadow of it. When you check history or even the present. Think about someone like Daddy Gio. Does he look like somebody that has influence? Talk to me. Does he look like? Does he have influence? So you can now see that influence has been what? As meekness has overshadowed influence. That's one of the most influential, if not the most influential minister in Nigeria or in Africa. Probably more, one of the, if I'm going to say, want to count first 10 ministers on the earth, you count Iyadebui. Arguably, Redeemed is the fastest growing church on the planet. Are you following me? So if somebody should boast, that man should be boasting. He should be boasting all the time. Now, why is he not boasting? Please, I want you to, why is he not boasting? He is really powerful. So why? So if you don't have power of godliness, power to get wealth, cannot really be given to you. So you can see those powers there in their proper order. Power to get wealth, power of signs, wonders, and miracles. No, power of godliness, power of signs and miracles, power to get wealth. That's the proper order. Can we all say amen? Amen. So we are even yet to see full power restored to the church. As the church grows in godliness, God will entrust more powers to the church. Can we all say amen? Amen. And it's not going to be misused. Influence will not be misused. That's why I said a type. A type is what Baba Adeboye represents. You know, you have influence, but you are not misusing influence. Influence is under control of the fruit of the Spirit. You are the richest in Nigeria, yet you have a local church you submit to. You have a pastor you submit to. And you don't hijack pastors to minister to you. You know, rich people have a way of hijacking pastors. A rich man can take a pastor from his calling. You just become a prophetic pastor. You are ministering to a billionaire. You lose relevance from pulpits. So I'm just showing you types so that you understand all these things, how they are supposed to be. Can we all say amen? Amen. Then the purpose of God is also threefold. Can we say amen? So we see that in the Feast of Israel, Passover, Pentecost, Tabernacles. That's the full purpose of God. So you cannot really say you know God if you don't know his purpose. What God wants to do on the earth. Alright? Much of the church is ignorant about the purpose of God. The purpose of God is more than the new birth. The purpose of God is more than being blessed, being prosperous, being healed, having a good life on the earth. Those are the basics of our redemption. The purpose of God is for God to raise the church into fullness. God wants to raise sons of God that will operate in the full power of his kingdom. And all these things are manifest into seasons, what we call seasons of restoration. Can we all say amen? Amen. So the purpose of God is also threefold. Passover, Pentecost, Tabernacles, which is the feast of fullness. Alright? I also use the names of the Godhead to also face the purposes of God. We begin with the Holy Ghost. We move into Christ. We climax in the Father. So that is the, what you say, purpose of God. It's the program of God. What God wants to do in this dispensation. So we can't talk knowing God without teaching the program of God, teaching the times of God, teaching the seasons of God, teaching what God wants to do. So can you see that we are having a holistic understanding of knowing God? Can we all say amen? Amen. I can hear your amen. Glory to God. So, God's mercy and goodness rewards obedience and judges disobedience. Alright? Let's make progress. God's mercy and goodness rewards obedience and judges disobedience. If all we know is God's goodness, we will not be complete in our knowing of God. God, I gave you examples of Jeroboam. I don't want to go into it. But let me give you definitions again. The mercy of God is the activity of God's compassion and love to visit and preserve and help us when we don't deserve it. The mercy of God is the compassion, is his compassion and love to visit, preserve, and help us when we don't deserve it. The justice or judgment of God is manifested as discipline and chastisement as a reward. As a reward when we do wrong, and as blessings and goodness and favor when we do right. Let me repeat that. When you do something bad and you get away with it, don't continue in it. If you know God, as good as God is, God can be severe. A lot of believers take God for granted. They don't know who God is. God is not Santa Claus. Santa Claus is coming to town. You know that Santa Claus picture? God is not like that at all. If God enters your case, there's nobody you can talk to. I prefer that devil is my problem. You know, if Satan is my problem, I run to God. If God is your problem, you are in soup. You know, you are in soup. If God, you know, when you say, God cannot be my problem. If God is the one on your case, there's nobody you can talk to. So there are certain attitudes that you have that causes you to always attract God's mercy. And that is what I'm teaching you. A consistent, rebellious, disobedient nature takes God's eyes away from you. A lot of pastors don't like teaching this because they don't want people to leave their churches. I heard one pastor say one time, he says, "Yahoo boys, don't worry. That's your money. I'll teach you how to invest it." I'm telling you. Somebody went to the church. I was in church that day and was angry. He was not so much of a serious Christian. He was angry and left the church. That even me, that I'm not serious with God, I know that this is wrong. So if you're a Yahoo boy, go and return the Yahoo money that you stole. If not, they will catch you. They are going to catch you. Are people still doing Yahoo Yahoo? Okay, they have upgraded, they have changed the name. All right. They will catch you if you don't repent. I say, what about politicians in Nigeria that have been stealing money? Let me tell you something. We have a lot of wicked men in power in Nigeria. And many of them thinking that they are getting away, they are not going to get away with it. God's patience should not be taken for granted. Many of them are heaping curses on their generations. That's number one. Number two, it's even good if God judges you on earth so that you can repent. If you land in lake, there's no repentance. So somebody needs to tell many Nigerian politicians that if they don't repent, they are going to lake. The hottest part of the lake, because of lives that they have destroyed by their greediness and conventions. Because as a politician, you are answerable to God. You are a minister of God. You are a servant of God. So you are going to answer to God. So you think that you are going to escape. You are not going to escape. God is going to judge politicians. Glory to God. Alright, so I've defined the justice and judgment of God, right? I said it's a manifest of discipline, chastisement, and reward when you do wrong, and blessings and goodness and reward when you do right. Alright? And that's why it's good in training your children too. You must also learn this. Learn to reward good things that they do in whatever way you can. And also learn to judge, learn to discipline them when they do wrong. Discipline is not necessarily beating them physically. It includes it, all right? Particularly when they're within a particular, when they're age 10, under 10, you should beat them. Because that's the best time you can beat them. Once they grow above 10, it will be maybe difficult to beat them. You can still, maybe occasionally, all right? I think I still beat my son at 13. And it was a man's beating. He needed it. And we know we settled it. He said he was sorry. I said, "I was sorry I beat you that way." He said he was sorry that he got me to the point where I beat him. Because he knows that I won't really beat him if he didn't do something bad. Because I know that some of us don't like beating children. We like talking English. I beg you. If your child is under 10, their best beating of their life should be within that reach. If you don't beat them well, a time will come you cannot beat them. You cannot be talking English and telling Nothing Corner all this kind of rubbish. You say, "Go and face Nothing Corner." the modern world today, they were not like that before. They used to spank their kids. It was when they went into so much of liberality, human rights, that they lost all those values. Don't copy things that are bad. So I'm just saying this because we have a lot of parents that have children. You better beat them. Beat them now. You know, so that they will give you peace. You know, there's a storm. Beat them now. This is the best time to beat them. But there's also some kind of chastisement. For instance, withdrawals. You can discipline a child by saying, you have this thing, I'm going to take it. And once you say you take it, take it. So you understand what I'm saying? God does that to us. Many Christians don't know that about God. One of the reasons why God chastises you so that you don't go back. God will forgive you, but he must chastise you. If God doesn't chastise you, you will do it again. So, when God chastises you, it means God loves you. When God scolds you, it means he loves you. So, when you think about the scolding, when you even attempt it, something will tell you, I'm not supposed to near this thing. The reason why at times we are bold to keep doing some things over and over again is because somewhere we think nothing will really happen. You know, nothing really happened. So I can just keep doing this thing. But I'm telling you that it doesn't work that way. Can we all say amen?
Amen.
Do you like this teaching this morning?
Yes, sir.
So what is righteousness? That's another. Righteousness is right standing with God, all right? Which should lead to right doing. So righteousness is first right standing before it's right doing. You can't do right except you're right. So the purpose of Jesus' sacrifice on the cross, and when we believe him, we come into legal standing. Legal standing, that's what right posture is. By what Jesus did, by the finished work of Jesus, we have right standing with God legally. And that is beautiful. Because that's like God giving you a good start. It's like, you know, when you buy MTN SIM card, there's credit inside. Just by believing, righteousness is credited in your spirit that you're a child of God. But it does not stop there. All right? Right standing should lead you to right doing. What did I say? Now you have the Spirit of God in you. Since you have no more dominion over you, you should now start learning God's righteousness. You should now shedding the old nature of the old man. So right standing leads to right doing. Righteousness is God's revealed standard. Now, let me go further. Righteousness is the basis of God's mercy and God's judgment. Righteousness is the basis of God's mercy and God's judgment. The reason why God is merciful and why God judges is because God is righteous. God is a just God. The same God that shows mercy and kindness is the same God that can be severe also. And the severity of God is built on his righteousness. That's why God will take some people, allow people to go to hell, and they will be crying for all time, and God will not hear again. It is the righteousness of God, that righteous nature of God, that can permit that. Because sometimes we think that righteousness cannot do that. So as righteousness is merciful, righteousness can what? Can also judge. So God is an appropriate judge. He's a just God. When he judges, it is just. So our heart posture is what determines God's mercy or judgment. Our heart posture is what determines God's mercy or judgment. An obedient and humble heart that is always tender towards God's word, like David, will attract God's mercy. So like I taught you 2 weeks ago, it was mercy that God delivered David out of Absalom's rebellion. Normally, that rebellion should finish David and his dynasty. You can't get out of that. You can't get out of a coup that Ahithophel plotted. David was gone. The only thing was that God had shown David mercy already. David had repented. God had pardoned him. But God was still going to chastise him. So pardon can be instant. Chastisement can take a long time. Oh, let me say that again. I want you to settle in. Pardon can be instant, but chastisement can take a long time to beat out that nature away from you. Particularly when you do some things after God has given you understanding. You know, when David sinned the sin with Bathsheba, he was a father. He was in his 50s. Amen. There's no point in your life where sexual immorality is permitted. All right? It was not. It should be in his late 40s or early 50s. It cannot be less than that age. Because I perceive that, you know, it was after that they gave birth to Solomon. All right? So I'm trying to look at Solomon's age when he became king. I think it was around 20. And so around 20, David was around 70 something. 70. Are you following me? Bible students. David was around 70 when Solomon became king. So when we backtrack, so David was either late 40s or early 50s when that thing happened. So David was able to attract God's mercy continually because his heart was always tender for, you know, some of you, they will tell you God's word, you know, listen. You know, somebody that fears God is that he may want to do something, but when he hears God, he refrains because he has honor for God and honor for his word. There are some people, when they tell them God's word, they'll say, no, that's Saul for you. That's the difference between Saul and David. When you look at Saul, he committed less sin. Saul did not take anybody's wife. Saul did not kill anybody. Are you following me? Saul did not do anything as bad as David. When we are going to look at it from a physical point of view. But what was Saul's problem? Saul was rebellious and stubborn. He had a stubborn heart that continually attracted God's judgment. You can read 1 Samuel chapter 15 from 17 to 29. It's always good to read the Bible, you see. You know, I did a study. I've not finished that study. I did it to a point. I'm picking up again this year. I was doing a study on how to last long. Because you are not the first person God will anoint. You're not the first person God will raise. So you must know the secret of lasting long. By that, you must know the secret of what God hates. I know the secret what God likes. And then what you know God like, it's you run away from it. So for Saul, he had a very rebellious heart. Saul did not honor God. The word of the Lord came to him. He should repent. He was still defending himself. And when you have a nature that always defends himself, you have to check yourself. If you grow in that, God cannot talk to you. You always have. That's why I say you should shalai less. Because at times when God is correcting you, you will not know that it is God correcting you if you don't have a natural disposition to be open to correction. The day that it is God, you will just do your normal defensive mechanism. So when Samuel was correcting David, it was God that was correcting when Samuel was correcting Saul, it was God. He gave reasons for not killing Agag. He even told Samuel, I've done what you said I should do. And then I kept Agag, meaning that Abba, you know, that they said, God told you kill all. But you did some of it. And you left one, and you were telling God that you have done the assignment. I'm wondering how Saul got there. You know how Saul got there? Ask me how. Gradual rebellion. Gradual rebellion leads you to developing a nature that is naturally rebellious. So you not even know when you are wrong. You are so deluded in your rebellion. When you are wrong, it's obvious you are wrong, but you never accept. Because you are used to it. So Saul attracted judgment. Alright. While David attracted mercy. So your integrity of heart will determine the degree of God's mercy towards you. Alright. Other examples in scripture. I need to rush now. Glory to God. Let's look at Pharaoh, Nebuchadnezzar, and Belteshazzar. For Pharaoh, Pharaoh had been desired. You can see Exodus chapter 14, 15 to 31. Exodus chapter 12, 29 to 31. Pharaoh had in his heart resisted God and rejected his voice. And this brought judgment on him due to a proud and stubborn nature. Some of us are just proud for nothing. Pharaoh refused to repent after God's judgment. I mean, you'll be thinking that, you know, God didn't have to take it to last plague. There were 10 plagues. The last one was the killer. It was after the last one that he accepted that they should go. Me, I'm just thinking, how can somebody be this hard? By the time it was written plague 3, I would have given up. Some of us can withstand God. We can withstand, you can withstand God. Like, you know that there are some things happening to you right now. You know that it is the judgment of God based on a consistent rebellion. But you will not quickly accept. At times you'll be saying it's Satan. Satan is the one. You'll now be praying. While you are praying, your conscience is already telling you that this thing is not Satan. Go and repent. But because of delusion and consistent rebellion, you just, you know, you have mastered how to always kill the voice of the Spirit. So you continue, you keep continuing. And you know that this thing, I just need to tell God, God, what is wrong? And God tells you something and say, it is this thing that you are doing that is causing this. Ah, God, I did not know. That's David. Ah, God, I did not know. Lord, I'm sorry. Lord, I'm sorry, I'll not do it again. But some, God will tell you, you do as if you do not hear. You'll be boning God. Holy Spirit will tell you. You know the Holy Spirit's voice is a still small voice. So you now do, it is when you are need, you need breakthrough that you hear that voice. When they are correcting you, you don't hear. So a time will come that when you are finding it difficult to discern God's voice, it's because over time you have added to your voice. So you are not even sure. When the Holy Spirit comes on your heart and says a word, it was OT. You have mastered how to reject that voice. So you're always in general confusion concerning when the Lord is speaking or not. When you are like that, you need to repent. Because you see, speaking, God speaking to his children is natural. It's like asking a child, how do you know the parents? Or the name of the parents? It's natural to know when God is speaking. When it becomes a big deal. That's why I don't really exactly believe that we need to be teaching children of God how to hear God's voice. I think we need to teach them how to know God. Oh, you are not following me. That's like bridging current. When you know God, you know his voice. You want to know God's voice, you don't want to know God. When you know God, you should know his voice. You don't just know his voice, you know his smell. You know everything about him. So Pharaoh, he got judged. Even after he sent them away, after a while, he said, these people, they cannot go. What a stubborn king. The next person here is Nebuchadnezzar. He too was what? He was proud and arrogant, attributing the glory of his kingdom to himself. We saw that in Daniel 4, from verse 29 to 37. Please write the scriptures down. Go home and check them. You need to know these things. So, am I Nebuchadnezzar? God can give you something that you can think that you are the one that built it. This thing was done by my hand. Maybe the little, everybody has their little breakthrough somewhere. All these things is relative. God can bless you. Start thinking that it is because of because of your hard work. That's why you have it. He says, it is by my labor. Shawam in the Moshe. So everybody can make that mistake that Nebuchadnezzar made. He looked at his skin and said, Eminore. He didn't say Eminore Uluwa. He said Eminore. And before he finished his statement, the watcher came and judged him. But the very good thing about Nebuchadnezzar is that what? After he came out of that experience, you see, how do I know that Nebuchadnezzar, while he was a beast for 7 years, I perceive that within that time he was repenting. Give me the place when he came out of. He says, at the end of days, I lifted up my eyes unto heaven, and my understanding what? Returned to me. That's the understanding of a man. And I blessed the Most High. It was an instantaneous thing. So before he blessed the Most High, he would have been repenting within the period of 7 years. Are you following me? I bless the Most High. I praise and honor him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. And all the inhabitants of the earth are repeated as what?
including me, and dwelleth according to what? His will in the harmony of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. And none can what? Stay his hand. This is supposed to be a Gentile king. Look at the revelation coming out of his mouth. Or say to him, what doest thou? This is Kabiosi. He knew Kabiosi, and he was not Yoruba. And at the same time, my reason returned unto me, and for the glory of my kingdom, my honor and brightness returned unto me. If God gives you everything back that you lost, it means you repented. And at times, God can even give you double, like Job. And my counselors and my lords sought unto me, and I was established in my kingdom. And excellent majesty was added to me. So God gave him more than what he had. You can now see that God is good. Now I never going to say, praise and extol the King of heaven. All whose works are what? And his ways what? Brother Nebo. And what? Those that walk in pride is able to what? Look at the next verse. Okay, so we know that this guy ended well. So he repented. God judged him. He repented. And God blessed him again. So, I mean, it's not hard to understand the arrangement of God. If you know who your boss is, you arrange yourself to work with him. You know God hates something, you are doing that thing. You are not a wise person. You are not a very wise person. Only gbere gbere around the place where. Amen. Hallelujah. You know God hates fornication and sexual immorality. Oh God, you know you're not supposed to be playing with something. Yeah, you're banning God. Oh God, you don't play with some things. You know, Joseph said, how will I do this thing? Sir, there was no thou shall not commit adultery. How shall I do this thing and sin against God? So he ran. You know, he says, somebody ran. Don't spoil my legacy with God. When you understand what it means to enjoy God's grace, you don't want to ever live a life that is outside God's grace. It's very frustrating. Very, very frustrating. The last person is this Belteshazzar guy is a very funny guy, because I think he should have learned from his father. He was too proud and dishonored God. He was using the vessel of God to drink Shio. He should have learned from his father. Because this is Nebuchadnezzar's son. Was he blind? I'm sure when his father was preaching, he was hearing. No, these people are not answering me today. He had an ardent heart, and his kingdom was taken away from him and given to the Persians. Alright? So we saw the same thing with Darius. Daniel 6. We could see that Darius feared God and honored God throughout his kingdom. So even when they set Daniel up, you know, it was a setup. Darius did not know. And Darius already made the decree. But after Darius knew, I'm sure Daniel was just asking that maybe the God of Daniel would deliver him, because he's a king. He cannot withdraw that word anymore. Immediately, he saw the fourth one in the fire. You know, he was excited. He shouted, you know. And after that, he said, this guy, oh yeah, put this guy stand. Said Daniel, put them straight into the fire. You know that Darius feared the God of Daniel. He had fear for him. I'm only just showing you God's nature. As children of God, we should fear God. Can we say amen? Amen. Because we know he's merciful, he's good, he's kind, he's also a just God. Let's move forward. So let me reiterate again that God wants us to be what? Now, God also wants us, his children, to be what? Merciful, as he is merciful. All right? Now, before I go ahead, The last person is Manasseh. I mean, Manasseh is somebody that you think that God will not show mercy. He was one of the most wicked kings. But he still received mercy because he truly repented. 2 Chronicles chapter 33, verse 11 to 16. He repented after God, then after God showed him mercy, he sought God in prayer. And God forgave him. That means God saw his heart, that he was truly contrite and repentant. So when you are contrite and repentant, God shows mercy. Can we say amen? Amen? Now, at times, God can even still chastise you. But that is where the Bible says, when God what? Tempers mercy with what? With judgment. So meaning that normally this is what you deserve. When God is chastising you, he will temper justice with mercy. That's what they say in court. You know, when they say that thing, maybe you're supposed to be in jail for life jail. They might just say, okay. The judge, if he's a nice judge, they say, okay. We can give you 20 years. They say 20 years in jail. It's not looking like 20 years in. It's day and night. So that 20 years can be 10 years. Osa ishe 10 years, sharp, o de jade. Ekweluwa Toby. So they say, normally you are supposed to die in jail. So, read about Manasseh also, all right? Yes, I'm going to get to all the scriptures because they're also in the New Testament. So, but this is my point. God also wants you to be merciful. Can we all say that? God wants us to be merciful, not judgmental. Now, that does not mean we don't judge, but biblical judgment is not what we know as judgment, all right? When the Bible said judge not, he's not talking about it. He's talking about constructive judgment. You see, there's constructive judgment, there's destructive one. All right? There are two different things. There's constructive judgment, there is destructive one. The constructive one is when we point out wrong in an attitude of meekness. You point out wrong in someone in an attitude of meekness. Now, this is it. It can either be a sharp rebuke or a calm correction. Correction comes in either of these two. Let me give you scriptures for that. Of course, Galatians chapter 6, verse 1 to 2. All right, before I get here, it's talking about correcting or restoring with an attitude of meekness. So, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are what? Spiritual, restore such one in what? The spirit of meekness. Considering thyself, lest thou be tempted. Then a sharp rebuke. Revelation chapter 3, verse 15 to 19. Some of you that don't like sharp rebuke, you don't know God. Jesus looked at Peter and said, get behind me, Satan. So there's sharp rebuke. It's part of the faculty of God's discipline. There's sharp rebuke, there's kind correction. I know thy works. Thou art neither what? Cold nor hot. I would not, I would that thou were cold or hot. So when thou, but because thou art lukewarm, neither cold or hot, I will what? Spew you out of my mouth. This is a sharp rebuke. This is Jesus referring to a whole church. Imagine here in a prophetic word. You know, we like good prophetic word. Seagate Church, you're going to grow big. You expand. You have branches all over the world. Amen. This place will be so big. You know all those kind of prophecies. They say, you people, you have lost your fire. You are neither cold or hot. God is saying, if you don't change, I will spew you out. Yes, that's what they were telling this church. This is what you call sharp rebuke. Take me back. No, I'm not through with it. I know that. So because thou sayest I'm rich and increased with goods, and I have no need of nothing. And know that thou art what? Wretched. This is New Testament though. Amen. I don't know why I'm saying that. Some people's idea of New Testament is very soft testament. Thou art wretched, miserable what? poor, blind, and naked. Who was saying this thing? Who was saying this thing? So you're walking and reading the joy. You say you are wretched. You are miserable. You are poor. You are blind. You are naked. Now look at the next thing. So I'm showing you constructive judgment. Constructive judgment gives room for repentance. It points out the wrong, gives room for repentance, and promises you if you change what you get. Did you see three things? It points out your wrong. It's either sharp correction or calm correction. The most thing that it is a correction. And I think you don't get to choose how you correct. It's the Spirit of God that determines it. It depends on the severity of what is at hand. For the Laodicean church, they are about losing the opportunity to sit on the throne. That would be a grave loss. So at times, when you want to correct somebody that is their life, they are playing with their life. One fiaye, one takait. You don't smile to them and say, I'm correcting you. Are you ever bad journey? You know the way your mother's correct you? Ha! It carries all the paraphernalia of your emotions. The way God feels. So, this is how the Lord felt about this church. This church were the closest to the throne of God. And they were going to forfeit all that. Because of a crazy attitude. The Holy Ghost had to rebuke them sharply. And I understand why Jesus rebuked Peter sharply. Ask me why. He was going to lead the whole church. So you don't spare that kind of person. So at times when they are rebuking you sharply, it means that God has a great assignment on your head. Some people don't have the opportunity to be rebuked sharply. All through their Christian walk is intensive care unit there. You can't carry something that is, you can't carry spirits. You can't carry mantle. You can't carry burden for territory. You can't carry dimensions of God that are rare. It's just the truth. If you see a person they are correcting per second, check that person. There's a purpose hanging. Destiny of nations are hanging. Destiny of lives are hanging. So some of you that like, because you like being like, maybe you are correct, you have opportunity to be corrected. You want to be like someone that don't correct. You don't know what you are doing. You don't know what God has called you to do. And at times when you have a child like that, that you know is designed to be great, don't spare that child. You have to correct that child back to back. My son suffered before he left the house. Everybody bass goes. Now he's in Ondo, bass goes. Nobody is sparing him. So I know there's something hanging on this boy. Some of you should go and pray that God should not spare you. But if God spares you, you may be spare tire. Meaning you are not really needed. So look at Titus chapter 1. I'm talking about rebuke, all right? So constructive correction points out the wrong, shows a way of escape, and then gives you a promise and encouragement when you change what you get. This witness is true. Wherefore, rebuke them sharply that they may be sound in the faith. So, if you need to be sound, you need sharp rebuke. If not, you will be unsound. Oh, need sound, Dada. And some of you, when they rebuke you sharply, you run away. You are not wise. You know some people, how you know? When you rebuke them sharply, they withdraw. You know, today I'm thanking God. Let me tell you this. What I'm handling today by the grace and mercy of God is by the sovereign act of God and choice of God. All right? But part of it was God corrected me, I know. And God is still correcting, but at a particular formation in my life, now I can understand why all that training was very intense. So I look at some other people that were doing church together. They were just yopping. I mean, if there's any problem in church, my pastor does not call some people. It's me he calls. I used to wonder, why me? Shame in the country. Why just shame? Now I understand. It's almost as if they knew that this one is different. Somebody that see, our paths are different. Some people may not be maybe on the forefront. You know, when you're on the forefront, when you make a mistake, it will be loud. Everybody's reading your life. But when you are inside the middle somewhere, if you make a mistake, nobody is drawing attention to you. So at times, you can see that why some of us, our training is severe. And if you have an opportunity to be corrected and you run away, you are shortchanging yourself. That's like shortchanging you. God put you in a position where you can be corrected. It's obvious. Maybe you have close relationship with your leaders and they can correct you at closer range. You now prefer to be a back seat woman. You are not wise. I just feel I need to tell you that. So God mercy. So you have gotten that. So God mercy reduces the judgment we rightfully deserve and also reaches out to those that are undeserving of it. An example is the Samaritan woman. Okay, she had five husbands. Is it five or six? John chapter 4, 5. And the one that she was staying with was not her husband. So you know that this woman lived a very terrible life. She was quarrelsome, bitter. Even when Jesus was talking to her, she was defensive. She wanted to pick a fight. But Jesus was a man of peace. But Jesus still showed mercy to her. Can we all say amen? So such kind of woman that lives such a life that she has broken marriage covenant, lived a terrible life, deserves naturally to end in a kind of, but Jesus reached in mercy and gave her an opportunity, and she took advantage of that opportunity. I believe she became an evangelist that opened the whole of Samaria. So that's mercy. That's God's mercy. Another person is Paul. Paul killed believers. And then God chose to show him mercy. We see that he was talking about that in 1 Timothy chapter 1. He was undeserving to be an apostle of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because of that nature of God, are you following me? God likewise wants us to be merciful to the undeserving so that they can be preserved from destruction. And they'll be able to repent from their evil. I don't know if you're getting me. God wants us what? To be merciful to the what? Undeserving. So that they can also have a change of mind and repent. Paul said, I was before a blasphemer, a persecutor, I was injurious. Poor Kaijo. But I obtained mercy. Because I did it in what? Ignorantly in what? Unbelief. So the issue is that some people doing the things they are doing now, they can be doing it in what? In what? Unbelief. So the mercy of God is what touches you. It touches you. It's God's love. When you're undeserving. And the idea is to lead you to what? Repentance. Like Paul. Paul had an opportunity to repent. God appeared to him. He repented. God gave him a fresh start. Can we all say amen? Amen. Oh, I can't hear you say amen. Amen. Glory to God. So God also likewise showed Manasseh mercy when he repented and he was saved. All right? I said you should read the scripture when you get to. But for Amnon, he was destroyed. Because he refused to humble himself and repent. Second Chronicles. Look at Second Chronicles. Let's look at Amnon. 33, 21 to 24. We are saved when we respond to God's chastening by mercy. And are destroyed when we are stiff-necked. And Amnon. Thank you. Start from verse 21. When you want to enjoy, you know, some people have not read Kings. But reading the Kings, right from Solomon down is a very good story for your soul as a Christian. Just read it. Huh? Read all the kings, the ones that did well, the ones that did not do well, and ask why some did well, why some did not do well. So like Hezekiah, why he did well is that he had a good mentor, David. His direct father, he refused to associate with him. And he looked for somebody in the family line that did well, and he became David's son directly because he wanted to do well. You must look for legacy of obedience and tap into it. Disconnect yourself from rebellious people. It doesn't matter. You cannot be, when it comes to following God, you cannot be sentimental. You choose your company wisely. You choose your friends wisely. Let me tell you this. Anybody that's not going to hurt your life, you better cut off from them this year. Cut off completely. Somebody that you know that anytime you go around that person, you're always having a, how would I call it? They're always puncturing life in you. You end up gossiping. You end up walking in malice. All those kind of friendship. You don't need them in your life in 2026. All those kind of baggage. Relationships that will not help you. Relationships that will not help you. You are still managing them. Oga Packwell. You must know what you want. Me, I want to move forward. And I'm not saying you should have malice. Love the person. Move forward. Some people are not ready to grow. Like some people, you are not answering me again. What did I say? Some people are not ready to grow. Even in this church. They are not ready. They, in their mind, they say I have 20 years. They, see, you don't understand. They are okay. Moshe Waimua, okay. Jejeni life. They want to see soft life. They want to chill. But you know where you are going. So you have to decide. I can love this brother. I love this sister. But we can't be party anymore. It's a simple thing. It's a simple thing. I say, ah, Pastor, I thought you love them. Hey, you are loving. You love them now. Your love to them is that you constantly encourage them. Yeah. But that person cannot be your companion. The person is not serious. No, you are saying we are judging the flesh. The person still wants to keep the flesh. You know that this one is not serious. You are thinking on how to judge the flesh. So you are thinking of how to judge. You don't look at the person. Wants to remain the flesh. Okay, you better look for people that want to grow. And become 5 and 6. So that you can encourage each other. When Paul wrote that evil communication corrupt good manners, he was talking to a church. He was not talking to unbelievers. It means that there are some believers that have evil. They are not ready to grow. They are the ones that complain about how long the message is, how long we stay in church, how the fasting is long, how household is not good. Everything. They complain on everything. Oga, know where you are going. Know where you are going. I know everybody wants to grow. Some people want to chill. I just want to pastor a bit chill. So Amnon was what? 220 years old when it began to rain. And it rained 2 years in Jerusalem. But what? He did what was evil in the sight of the Lord and did Manasseh his father, as did Manasseh his father. But that was before his father repented. His father repented. But Amnon sacrificed all the carved images which Manasseh has, his father has made and served him. You know, interestingly, the father now repented. That's why at times, you know, we should follow men as they follow Christ. And we should learn good things from people, not things that are bad. So at times, you know, I learned that in my journey. Somebody criticized something, and the person was before me, was criticizing a particular preacher. I was not trying to speak well of the preacher. He said, no, this person is this and that. Fine. You know, years after, he connected with that preacher. I'm telling you. He connected. I just wanted to say, But me, I didn't have problem. I respected the preacher. I just felt that, well, that's your opinion. I feel that this preacher is okay. I don't have a close relationship with the preacher, but I discern the preacher in the body of Christ. I appreciate what he's doing. The guy corrected this minister. Lash was lashing this. This and that. So as he was saying so, the guy wanted the platform of that minister. So at times people criticize what they like. You see that? So yes, later, now says in getting close to the minister, going to the meeting of the minister. I said, well, thank God that he did not dissuade me. Anyway, that's the most important thing. So you have to follow your convictions. Your God convictions. You have to follow them. As long as, you know, it's God directing you, are sure it's God. Just do what God wants you to do. Because eventually, Manasseh, that maybe gave him that legacy. Because most of the bad things he must have learned from Manasseh. Manasseh now repented. I'm not refused to. That's why you can't play with sin. Sin is not something that you say, let me do small sin. Toba there, my day change. Sin masters you. Any sin you are doing is smarter than you. Like maybe you are doing malice. I do malice today. Today I need malice. Tomorrow I need kindness. So let me use malice today. You understand? You are not using malice. What is using you? Malice is the one using you. The malice will master you for pride. Sin is a network. So don't think that you are doing sin and you can escape from sin. No. The more sin you are doing, the more you are having a track record. It becomes more difficult to pull away from. Nobody is answering me again. Can we say amen? Amen. It's like this message is not an exciting message. So we see that in Amnon. Look at Proverbs 29 verse 1. We are saved when we respond to God's chastening by mercy, and are destroyed when we are stiff-necked. We must show love, kindness, and acts of goodness to those that are undeserving, and also pray for them so that they can repent. So, even us, don't allow people to make you stiff-necked and tough. My wife was still saying that to me yesterday. When you know God, no matter what people do, make sure that it doesn't change your nature. Because that's what Satan wants to do. If you're a kind person, Satan wants to make you unkind. And he will use people to make you unkind. He will frustrate your kindness so that you will not have bowels of mercy anymore. Oh, ni ma ka no more because I want what you really are. Eh? You laugh. You know when we were going, there was a thing called Feikogma. You will have kogma. But God does not want you to kogma from experience. God wants wisdom to what? Call you logma. Eh? So you must make up your mind that you still be merciful. Eh? No matter what people do to you. That you'll be kind. That you have bowels of compassion. Nobody saying amen. Look at Luke chapter 6. So at times when people do bad things to you, do good to them. You are training yourself to be like God. As in, particularly the ones that do real bad. When somebody do real bad to you, do real good. You can just choose to do something good to that person. You are trying to train your soul. Exercise yourself. Because naturally, when people do bad to us, we want to do bad back. And then if you don't have the opportunity to do him bad, we want to bone them bad. Eh? No, don't start from here. Start from verse 27. Glory to God. Can we all say amen? But I said to you, yeah, love your enemies. Do good to them that hate you. Eh? Bless them that curse you. So when somebody is cursing you and you know, pray for them. You don't need, you know, just keep praying for them. And your prayer, you should not say, God, I'm the apple of your eye. Nobody that calls me. No, pray for them. Pray for them, pray for their children. Because there's nobody that doesn't want their children to do well. So you pray and bless their children. You are doing that because those people unknowingly are heaping curses on themselves. What are you trying to do? You are trying to act in mercy, that God should be merciful to those people. in spite of what they are doing. So bless them that curse you. Pray for them that what? Despitefully use you. You pray for them, you intercede for them. Including Nigerian government. We pray for them. And unto him that smited thee on one cheek, offer the other. And the one that take away the cloak forbidden. Okay. Verse 32. For if you love them that love you, what thank have ye? For sinners also love those that love them. And if you do good to them that do good to you, what thank ye have ye? For sinners also do the same. And if you lend to them that you hope to receive, what thank have ye? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much gain. But love your enemies, do good, lend, open nothing again, and your reward shall be great. And you shall be the children of the highest. For he is kind, this is where I'm going. He is kind to the what? Look at that again. He is kind to what? And to what? The evil. So that's why when you have somebody that did bad to you, that's an opportunity. It's a very good opportunity. You see, you must learn to see things from the right perspective. Because you may never have an opportunity to be good to an evil person in your life. Somebody that you are kind to, you are good to, stabs you at the back. That's an opportunity to be good. Because you may never have that opportunity. Like Abraham. Raised Lot, blessed Lot, and Lot stole from him. Because Lot stole from him, divided the flock. And fine. And when Lot was in trouble, that was when Abraham should pay him back. But Abraham showed to do good. Risked his life and his men and went to bail him out. So anytime you fall into this, remember that this is an opportunity for me to develop my God nature. It's not every time that you hear that somebody spoke ill about you, now start complaining. What did you say? What did you say? Stop wasting in it. You just walk in love and treat them well. People change their mind. The same people say that you are bad can change their mind and say, ah, this person is a good person. People are like that. People can change their mind very easily. And it shouldn't surprise you. That's how man is. Eh? So when you are seeing those things, you are telling yourself that you don't want to be like that. People like you because they get from you. And when they don't get from you, you are off their like list. They don't like you. They don't follow you. No big deal, brethren. So God judges because he is holy and just. And God demands a life of righteousness. Can we all say amen?
Amen.
After God has shown you mercy and goodness and love, he demands that you walk in righteousness. Romans chapter 2 verse 4. Let's see scriptures. Romans 2 verse 4. Alright. Oh, despised thou the riches and goodness and forbearance. Thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long-suffering. Not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to what? Repentance. Never forget this. Hebrews 10 verse 30. Hebrews 10 verse 30. The goodness of God should lead you to repentance. For we know... For we know him that has said, vengeance belong unto me. I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge his people. So God is a just judge. Is that what it means? So because of the sin nature in our souls, God at times allows tribulations to break down our pride and stubbornness so that we can access his nature or his life. Look at Psalm 119 verse 67 and 71. Because of our old man, God allows tribulation. At times, even afflictions. So at times, what the enemy meant to assault you, God can just see as an opportunity to break you. And let's just say we can quickly fix this person in 2 years. God just sees a window. Because I'm looking at that, that's how God thinks, okay, this thing is supposed to destroy him, but we'll permit it it will make him. You know that Joseph was a butter? Joe Omola. It was your Omola. Omola. So, but Omola must be a king. Omola must save the world. Omola must save the world. And if Omola will save the world, Omola must see Shege. And Omola will not see Shege in his father's house. As long as in his father's house, he will become Oje Omama Laloni. So they have to what? Orchestrate what? A process to drive him out. And the process that drove him out was even from inside his father's house. Ogun idile ogun abele. Tell you understand? So they drove him out. His brother sold him. I'm just saying, they sold me. And God said, you have just started though. So look at all that journey. Thank God that God allowed him to be sold. So can you look back and thank God for your processes? Some of you, God did some things. Some of you, God had to even allow your parents to go early. God allowed it. It may be the enemy that brought it, but God allowed it. If not, you'll never be where you are. So before I was afflicted, I went astray. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. Olori koko ni mi. But now, I have what? Now, I have sense now. And thou art good and doest good. Teach me thy status. Alright, 71. It is good for me that I have been what? You people are not following. You are not reading. I know some of you have never read this in the Bible before. They have never seen this kind of powers. You have never seen this kind of powers. It is good for me that I have been what? That I might what? Sir, you know, go learn status. Don't say where will you learn status? You need trouble to learn status. You need some kind of fire in your bum bum to learn status. I don't want daddy, I'm going to learn by wisdom. Hallelujah. I'll learn by revelation. God knows you very well. you don't learn by revelation. Okay. What's it, brother? I don't learn by revelation. He yellow likes that. Keep them out, bullet at that. Ah, Kashabayana. You'll be able to pray. You know some people, their prayer. Prayer of rich man. Father, I bless thy name. I bless thy holy name, Lord. I bless thy name, O Lord. Thank you, O Lord. When you are looking for a child, you know, like Hannah, you can't be praying, bless the hell out. Itara kwebi olombo. Mo lori oke ma. Oluwa o. Mo loju ewa. You can't pray and say, bless me out loud. So God knows you very well. God knows your nature. He knows what to fashion against that terrible nature. God knows it. Leviticus 26, verse 18 to 19. Leviticus 26, verse 18 to 19. And if ye will not yet... And if ye will not yet for all this hearken to me, it's a whole context, then I will punish you 7 times more for your sins. And I will break the pride of your power. And I will make your heaven as iron, and your head as brass. This is God. You need to understand the context. So, you don't have to push yourself here anyway. We respond to God's judgment by repentance that releases God's mercy upon us. James chapter 2, verse 13. James 2, verse 13. For he shall have judgment without mercy, that hath showed no mercy. And mercy rejoiced against or over judgment. So most times, pride, presumption, and ignorance makes us not know that some troubles are a product of our disobedience. And that we are being judged by God because of it. As we can't resist the devil, and we cannot resist the devil without submitting to God first. So sometimes, the Bible says, submit to God, resist the devil, and he shall flee. So the first thing is that you trace yourself back in what? Submitting to God. You can't resist the devil when you are in rebellion. Some of you, the way you are now is a product of your rebellion. Believe me. And you need to be sincere. You see, many of us don't examine ourselves. At times you now blame God. God, what is happening to my life? Why is my life like this? Your life is like the way you nurtured it. It's like the way you groomed it. So when we learn to submit to God, then we are able to see the way God sees, and then we can repent when necessary. Can we all say amen? Amen. All right, let me round up my thoughts. I want us to see understanding God's mercy, chastening and forgiveness. We must know that when we sin and ask for forgiveness, God forgives us from what? The righteous punishment of sin, which is death. So the wages of any sin is death. Of course, we know that John was saying in 1 John chapter 3 that there's a sin that leadeth unto death. He was talking about second death. Normally, every sin brings death. What did I say? We must know that. Sin brings death. What is death? Separation from God. So anytime we indulge in sin, we are gradually being what? Separated from the commensurate life that we are supposed to have. All right? So, but God forgives us, pardons us, but if God demonstrates his loving kindness to us, he will chasten us so that we can bring forth fruits of repentance and righteousness, so we will fear and not return to it. We have many scriptures for this. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 6 to 11. All right? Hebrews chapter 12, verse 6 to 11. For God, what? Loveth, whom the Lord loves, what? He chasteneth, and scourgeth every son he receives. That's just discipline. For if you, what? Endure chastening. Can we all say that? So that endure means if you allow the process of chastening. Because we may not, some of us don't allow chastening. It even happens in church. You chasten somebody, they leave to the nearby church. But chastening is supposed to work something in you. If you endure the process of chastening, God deals it with you as what? So if I chasten you and you leave, it means you are not a son. For what God is, what son is him whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye are without what? If you are without what? If you are without what? Whereof are all what? Everybody should partake of chastisement. So you have to partake of chastisement to partake of divine nature or to partake of holiness. Then you are what? And not sons. Illegitimate sons. That's what Yoruba calls omwale. Meaning you don't have my nature. You refuse to correct training. Now look at verse 10. Verse 9. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh who had corrected us. And we gave them reverence. Shall we not much more be rather in subjection to the Father of spirits and what? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure. But if for our profit, that we might be what? Now, no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous. When they are chastening you, you are not smiling. So, when you are chastening your children, you don't expect they will be smiling. Pastors, when you are chastening the flock, don't expect them to be smiling. And say, I'm being discouraged, they are not smiling. You don't check their face. They don't need to smile. Nobody smiles when they are being corrected. Of course, at times, you know, because we are human, at times, we want to look at people's face. You don't send them. If you send them, you won't do the will of God. You have to do, if I send you, I won't preach the right word. So, at times, chastening is preaching the message that people don't want to hear. Preach it, man. Let them be angry. You are doing well. And it's all of times people should be angry when they hear some messages. You say they use me to preach. That's good for you. It means you're a star. They use you to preach. You should be happy. Somebody got angry and said they use me to preach. Can you imagine? They use you to preach in church. You should be thanking God. God, thank you. I'm very important. For them, yes, now. So what is they be doing? They should be clapping for you in church. Are you a celebrity? Don't say, don't go to where you are tolerated. Go to where you are celebrated. You're fair kuni, sir. Don't you go where everybody say, whoa, 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 whoa. One boy. Whoa, 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 whoa. You go where go to where you are celebrated. That's why many believers are the way they are. Because they are going to where they are celebrated. So not chastening for the present seemeth joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yielded what? So please, don't spare anybody that you are giving the opportunity to train. They don't need to like it, but afterward. It will go, peace and fruit of righteousness unto them that I exercise thereby. The person will come and thank you later. Say thank you, and that's why it's not good to not allow people that are meant to correct you not correct you. You are doing yourself disservice. Sincerely, it is you that will suffer that loss. Let's see a couple of scripture. Proverbs 20:30, Proverbs 26:27-6. Let me just see two other scriptures. You know, this Bible study, I like to comb out scriptures. The blueness of a wound cleanseth away evil. Give me a more recent version, maybe NLT or Message. So do stripes the inward parts of the belly. What? Thank you. Physical punishment cleanses away what? Nobody's answering me again. Such discipline what? Purifies the heart. See Proverbs 27:6. Proverbs 27:6. Thank you. Proverbs 27:6. Wounds from a sincere friend are better than what? You see, some of us, this is how we are. It's people that kiss you that are your friend. Baby, you are just sweet. Don't mind them, Joe. You are okay the way you are. That's what Satan tells you after God chastises you. You don't go and visit Satan. Say, "Cut him on son here." That God is not an understanding God. Doesn't understand your frame. You know, you are just good. You are beautiful the way you are. You don't need somebody ruffling your all the time. Me, I will always tell you how good you are. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. So friendship should wound each other. Friends. Because some of you don't know friendship. It is farm sin, you know. Farm sin. Sometimes we are snapping picture with somebody. I think you are party every Sunday. Then I say, talk to the person. I mean, I can't talk to the person. Because I'm assuming when you are snapping picture all the time. Woo! What do they call it? My something, shall I call it? my friend, my this, my sister, my sister, my sister. So when I think, okay, there's something wrong with this sister. So, but James is your sister. When I say, please, can you help us reach her? And I say, go Jemma sorrow. Sister, yeah, Purusa. I thought she was your sister. I can't talk to her. But you used to take picture all the time. You tell her, say, see, I'm not going to take picture with you today. You don't hear word. But who else are they going to hear it from, except from you? This thing, you're still doing it. I'm not taking picture. No picture today. Why now? I'm not. No, your picture will change. Lord, change. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. May God make us this kind of friends. Faithful are the, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. Oh, that person is very nice. So we need to understand this nature. So though God forgave David after the sin of Bathsheba, but God chastened him after. Forgiveness can be instant, but chastening will take time. In fact, God denied David from building the temple. Those are the consequences of some of the actions. Some of you feel it doesn't matter. God will forgive me. I've heard people say things like that. God will forgive me. God will forgive you. But you don't know what is attached. You can't joke with God. Now look at it. Who could ever know that Moses striking the rock twice will stop him from entering the promised land? Can you ever think that would be the appropriate judgment? But God is a just God. All right? God just told Moses, that this is where your journey ends. See the land you are not entering. So, okay, you never know. Say, don't worry, I will repent now. I've heard things like that among Christians. Don't worry, okay, go and do that thing now. Go to that club, only lush club, Lenny. Will it shy you? Are they the church on Sunday? And they repent. You think God is a fool? Don't go on like that. One day you will do it, you come out again. You do it, you come out again. If God has saved you, God has forgiven you, then you should turn your back against it. The goodness of God should lead us to repentance. So God forgave David. But God chastened David. God really chastened David. When you look at the chastening of God after, that's when the rebellion was going on in David, he knew. But thank God that he has asked God for mercy. And God sought him through all that time. Nobody could have escaped that Absalom's insurrection, if not for God's mercy. So understanding the severity of God is to know the certainty of his judgment and chasten when we sin. This helps us to fear him and depart from evil. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 6. So some people don't understand that if you keep sinning, there's a certain judgment for it. It's all in scripture. So God forgives us our sin, but God says don't continue in it. The reason why God is saying it is that God loves you. God doesn't want sin to master you. So it gets difficult for you to repent. By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. Look at that. So it's not just truth, it's mercy. And by the fear of the Lord, men what? So what makes you depart from evil? People are not answering me. So why does God chasten you? So you will not, anything that you are still doing now is because you don't fear God. No. It's my weakness, sir. Oh God, you don't fear God. Some of you, when they tell you that maybe you should not do something and that this is what you get for it, that thing you call your weakness, you overcome it. because you see something more profitable to get. But when you understand that what you get in this way is life. It's about life, brethren. So the fear of the Lord makes you depart from evil. Alright? And so the purpose of chastening is for us to fear God. We must fear Him. When we confess and forsake our sin by obedience to righteousness, we attract the mercy of God. To reduce and in certain cases even totally eradicate the sentence of our disobedience. Let me say that again. When we confess and forsake our sins, by no way, confessing and forsaking is not just a mountain, it's an acting. That's why I say by obedience, we attract the mercy of God to reduce and even what? Eradicate the sentence of sin or disobedience. Can we all say amen?
Amen.
Proverbs chapter 28, verse 13. Let's see NLT version for that scripture. Verse 13, not 16. Proverbs chapter 28, verse 13. Proverbs 28. People who conceal their sins will not prosper. And that's why you should never have a nature of always covering things. Covering. Cover it up. See, okay, let me tell you something that you don't understand. You're only covering up for men. Two people know. What did I say? That is even some men that don't even know by prophetic insight. People can smell you. You think you are wise? Eh? Two people know. God knows. That should give you concern. Another person that knows and wants you to keep it because he wants to kill you is the devil. Satan is a master. If he's the one teaching you, bo, 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 bo. So you don't need to say, if I confess my sin, people will know what I did. And so, why are you so concerned about people? What about God? Who makes people? It's God. Who delivers? It's God. Who protects? It's God. Who preserves? It's God. Who exalts? It's God. Who brings down? It's God. So people who consider their sins will not prosper. But if they what? Confess. Not just confess. And what? And what? Turn from what? They shall what? Receive mercy. They shall receive mercy. When they confess and turn. So I believe that turning starts from the heart posture. Because I know this because I'm a pastor. Some people when they talk, I'm sorry. It's not. It's their mouth that is sorry. Their heart has not been sorry yet. Because confession should lead to what? Repentance. Godly sorrow leads to repentance. Meaning the heart has turned. Then God will now give grace to continue in that state of a genuine heart repentance. Glory to God. For God is sorrow worketh repentance to salvation. I like that. God is sorrow worketh repentance unto salvation. So if we confess and forsake sin early, the mercy of God will overcome and prevail over judgment. So that's why, you see, there's something I notice about David. If you study David very well, David instantly, when they confront him, he will own up. You know, there are some people, one thing you must never master is how to hide when you are confronted. So some can even, when you confront them, they just own up. Some people, when you confront them, they keep hiding more. That becomes a little bit challenging. You understand? Because the Lord confronting you, pointing the prophetic finger at you. You know, when Nathan approached David, was it Nathan or God? And Nathan was telling him a story. He was doing that because he honored him as a king. And after David said, hey, what kind of man is this? We're going to judge this man. This is injustice. Nathan said, you are the one. Thou art this man. Start from verse 1 because I want some people to see this. I perceive that some of us don't read scripture. You don't have fellowship with scripture. For some of these things, they need to rub on your soul. And the Lord sent Nathan unto David and said unto him, there were two men in one city, one rich, the other poor. And the rich man had exceeding many flocks and herds. But the poor man had nothing, save one little hill lamb, which he had brought and nourished up. And he grew it up together and with him, with his children, that he did eat of his own meat and drank of his own cup, and lay in his bosom, and was unto him a daughter. And there came a traveler unto the rich man, and he spared to take of his own flock and of his own head to dress for the weary man that was unto him, but took the poor man's lamp and dressed it for him. The man was come to him, meaning he went to take, and David's anger was greatly kindled against this man, and he said unto Nathan, as the Lord liveth, this man that hath done such a thing shall surely. We are already past John. So it means that this prophetic wisdom. And he shall restore the lamb fourfold because he did this thing and because he had no pity. And Nathan said to David, thou art this man. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I anointed the king over Israel and delivered thee out of the hand of Saul. And I gave thee thy master's house and thy master's wives unto thy bosom, and gave thee the house of Israel and Judah. And if that had been too little, I would moreover have given unto thee such and such things. Wherefore hast thou despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in his sight, and hast killed Uriah the Hittite with the sword, and hast taken his wife to be thy wife, and hast slain him with the sword of the children of Amnon. Now therefore the sword shall never depart from thy house. This is judgment though. Because thou hast despised me, and hast taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be thy wife. Thus saith the Lord, behold, I will raise up what? Evil against thee out of thy own house. Like I told you, all those things that happened to David were the judgments already being pronounced. And I will take thy wives before thee and give them unto thy neighbor. Do you know that Absalom was sleeping with David's wives in the open? There's nothing more damaging than that. David was not supposed to recover from what he did. And give them, and he shall lie with thy wives in the sight of this son. Did this happen? Did God forgive David? Did God have everlasting covenant with David? Did God chastise David? When some people have boldness to do some things after they have light, I used to fear them. Because you don't understand what can be at stake. For if thou did it secretly, for thou did this secretly, but I will do this thing before all Israel and before the sun. And David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. He knew God. This is a man that knew God. When you know God more, it gets more slippery. You can't just act. You can't just act. I heard a story about a minister one time that I think he had an issue in his marriage, and then maybe his wife fell into sexual sin. Then he put the wife away. Obviously, I think because of his knowledge of God, he was supposed to forgive the woman. Because partly maybe some of the challenge may have been from him also. But he refused. He put her away. Of course, you know, you can stand on scripture that the ground for divorce is marital infidelity. But God would have told him, forgive this woman. Don't put her away. But maybe he rejected that. Then he married another wife. As he married another wife, things changed. And then the Lord told him, you are coming home. You are coming home. So it means that there are certain things. So for David, David knew the nature of God. If I feel that David knew what he did, that he can't do it and get away with it. You should have that kind of fear for God. That this thing, I can't get away with it. Let me quickly go and expose myself. Let me expose myself. You know, it's better I expose myself before God exposes me. Because they say, itak bang ba, ikoto jeli dile, taba ma jetie. Itak bang ba la matiso. I'm not going to beat you. Everybody will know. Me, I want to fear God. If there's anything I want to learn more, this is to fear God. So if we forsake and confess and forsake our sin early, the mercy of God will what? Prevail over judgment. If God, listen to me, can chasten and deal with David, a man after his heart, who he loves, then he will not spare you. Do you know how much God loves David? Say, you know, because some of us, the way you say, God love me, he love me, no, he love me so. God loved David. Many of us, we have not earned the kind of love work that David had with God. God loved David. In spite of all these things, God gave David everlasting covenant. Jesus is seated on the throne of his father David. What a man. God loved David. And I discovered that because God loved him, God chastened David. David actually had a lot of problem with what? David liked women. I think that was one of his weaknesses. He liked women. The thing, maybe it's a family, the thing is inside the blood. Say from Judah. But God made sure he dealt with that thing in David. God dealt with that thing in David. By the time David was 70, Baba engine don't knock. When they brought Abishag, Baba cannot do anything. Can't touch her knee. Can't touch it anymore. Baba tigbo. Baba was already. Baba just needed a damsel that would give him warmth. He was old. He was 70. God loved David. It's possible that David would have lived longer. I'm just showing you something. It's possible. There's, you know, when you are waiting on God, so you must check all the signs. It's possible you may live longer. We need to run away from sexual immorality. Okay, Pastor.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Learn wisdom. Learn wisdom. Learn wisdom for you to last long. Learn wisdom for you to last long. Learn wisdom. Wisdom. For you see, this wisdom is what you need even to do well in areas that you didn't do well before. This wisdom is what will position you rightly for you to see good days. For you to see good days and not to be sifted away. Learn wisdom. Learn wisdom, for I have great things for you. I have great things for you. I have great purposes for you. Learn this wisdom. Learn this wisdom and observe to do it. Observe to do it. Observe to do it. And in doing so, you're refraining yourself from evil. You're refraining yourself even from the evil way. You are refraining yourself from the evil path. You are refraining yourself not to go astray. Not to go astray. For you see, the adversary wants many. He fights you night and day for to go astray. But I say, learn wisdom. Learn wisdom for you to stay on the path. Stay on the path. On the path towards your inheritance. It is in this that you can truly last. It is in this you can truly last. It is in this that you can truly last. Learn this wisdom. Learn this wisdom and you will dwell safely. Say it.
Just what I need to dwell there. Flee sexual immorality. First Corinthians chapter 6. It's possible that David may have lived longer in the body. I believe that if you indulge regularly in sexual immorality, you are shortening your lifespan. Not just in your soul, even in your body. No, start from verse 14. Is it verse 14 or 13 when it says, when it starts? No, no, no. Okay. Okay, take me to verse. This weakness almost drowned David's dynasty. Almost that drowned his dynasty. God just helped him. Knowing not that their bodies are the members of Christ, shall I take my the member of Christ? No, take me where it says flee. That's where I'm going. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, am I right? Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is what? Without the body. But he that committed fornication sinneth what? So this is in every sense of it. You are sinning against your body. So by the time David became 70, he did not have warmth anymore. Only God knows how he was. Yeah. If you did this when David was 50, Obama Gbesele. So David, well, so they sought a fair damsel throughout all the course of Israel, and they brought Abishag. She was from Shunam. You know, Shunammite. It means that this girl will have been finer than all of David's wives. They got her from Shunammites. That's where they get babes from. And brought her to the king. And what the damsel was, is it fair? Omokupa. Correct brand. And cherished the king. And ministered to him, but the king knew her not. He has changed. Sometimes you, if you don't change by revelation, you will change by. They will break you. So you say, I can't do that. You will see the thing, you can't do it. They have removed all the facility. Yeah. Eh? He says he knew her not, sir. It's not like he didn't want to know her. He cannot know her again. I just felt I needed to say this. So, if God can chasten and deal with David, a man after his heart, who he loves, then he won't spare us. He would forgive us, but he would chastise us. The severity or chastening of God is dependent on the weight of the purpose that is over you. Also, at times, is the weight of what you did. Or the level of understanding that you have when you did it. Like I gave you an example of Moses. Was denied entering the promised land because he was a father figure as at that time. Of course, Solomon. God appeared twice to Solomon. Two times. That thing still keeps, is an amazement. And you have to just pray. Because Solomon knew God. But there were things that Solomon had started indulging in gradually. That gradually began to add in his heart. So when God came twice, there was no big deal. God appeared to him twice. I mean, you don't need. His father says, God, once have you spoken? I've heard twice. God speaks once, he heard twice. This time, Solomon, God appeared twice. Solomon did not respond. The Bible says he cleave to these strange women in love. He cleaved to them. You don't cleave to something that you have not been engaging over a while. You cleave to it. When you cleave to something, it's hard to let go. When you cleave to something, it's hard to let go. But Solomon loved many strange women together with the daughter of Pharaoh. Look at the women he loved. And so I have to check your heart. We have brothers that love some things. So they are trying to look for those things in Zion sisters. And at times when you marry them also, you want to make them have it. Pharaoh, look at the women that Solomon loved. Baba loved daughter of Pharaoh. Kuti ewo nkan ti Pharaoh se fun won. All these people that he loved, the wounded Israel. Pharaoh, Moab, Ammonites, Edomites, Zidonites, Hittites, of nations concerning with the Lord, said unto the children of Israel, you shall not go in to them, neither shall you, they shall come in to you. For surely they will turn away your heart after their gods. Surely. These nations were far advanced nations. God told them, don't leave these people alone. Solomon, what? Clave unto this, what? In love. But it starts by gradual. Let me tell you this. Don't think you cannot get here. It starts by gradual breaking. Gradual lying. Gradual stealing. Gradual cheating. Gradual, you know, dear, monotone spirit. You don't used to tell the truth. You are going to Iwo Road. You say you are going to Iwo Road. You first go to Ojo, you go to Bodija, you go to Challenge, then you land in Iwo Road. Where did you go? I went to Iwo Road. It starts like that. You're not a straightforward person. You're not a transparent person. It starts like that. I noticed that Solomon started breaking gradually. So the day you can deceive people, you know, you see somebody, they can deceive massively. They didn't start that way. It was small, small, small again. Then Satan will give you inspiration. You grow. You now can, you can dribble more. You can confuse people. One thing God did early for me while I was growing up, and I like it, I pray that for you too. I always got in caught in my heart. You know that thing? You want to lie, they will catch you. Maybe it's only very few times. Most of the time, they will catch every. Some people, it's you. Maybe you are going to steal granite. Everybody has stolen their own. the day you are stealing your own. It's not only me. Oh, God. It's you that they saw. You don't know that all those things are good for you. It will not make you have confidence to do sin. You know that at the next time when you think, I know God. I can't do this thing. God will show. God will show mercy. God will show you mercy, those kind of things. When they quickly catch you, they caught you. Some people get late to office, they will not catch them. The day you get late, that's when the MD will be at the one sitting. That's when you come late. I remember one time, you know, I let me round up with this. I was doing IT. I did my IT in Beja Paints. If you know Beja Paints in Lagos, in Obakra. Because I used to work very hard. I mean, I can say that. Worked very hard in the department. But I know that all of my other colleagues that were doing IT, the attendants, they will not come, you know. So there's one time I really was tired. I felt that, let me also, am I the only one that come and sleep? Because I do the work. Sometimes I close 6:30, do extra work. So I just try to dribble my boss to just fake as if I was sick. You know all those fake sickness? You know you can go to work, but you see, So I form sickness, I did not come. So the time I did not come, maybe like 3 days, was when our HOD, the deputy managing director, so came. I was checking the department, checking for people that did not come to work. So I think they should covered for me, because there are times they can be very tough. They will have even give you query before they know you are either sick or not. They can be that tough. So I remember when I came back, one of my orgas in the other department called me. She's a pastor's wife. I won't forget her. She called me and said, see you. You see all those other girls and your colleagues, he mentioned their name. He said, you are not the same. Oh. It's as if an angel sent that to me. He said, you are not the same. Oh. He said, don't copy them. He said, I know that the reason why you did not come to is that it's not that you are really sick. You're not thinking that you will not need time out because of work. He said, don't copy them. He said that the day you do it, you will be exposed. He said, because you have a different destiny. I was afraid. You know, you think that you are smart, that you can hide things. People know your secrets. Somebody will just call you and say, Oga, where did you go to yesterday? Relax. What did you go and do? Well, I just say I should tell you. The next time you go there, you may not come back. Some of you, you need things like that. I perceive that some of you are bolder with some of the things that you have been doing. And you need to pray for God not to spare you. Because you cannot know God if all you know is His goodness. And you know that you have enjoyed God's goodness. This message will not minister to you if you don't know that God has been good to you. You know that God has been good to you. But I'm also telling you that that same God is also severe. And His chastisement to you is a desire for Him, so that in Him to you, that you might bear fruits of righteousness, that you might turn out well, that you may be able to bear His image. Can we stand to our feet and begin to talk to God? Let's talk to Him. Let us receive grace this morning. I believe that the Lord has blessed us. Can we receive grace? Let's receive grace. Father, we thank you. Come on, pray, 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 pray. I'm sure this word has touched us in different places. Can we ask God to strengthen our hearts? This year is a good time to start on a fresh new page in my response to God. And so, Father, I receive supply of your Spirit today. I receive grace. Oh, la baradika davarode shaparade gedebreni altabati alata. Lord, grant me a can we pray that God gives us a contrite heart? A heart that is meek and contrite, that trembles at His word. Lord, we ask, Lord God, that you consciously work in our hearts. Lord God, a heart that is broken, a heart that is contrite, a heart that trembles at your word. Lord, we receive grace. We receive strength. We receive a supply of your Spirit. 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 Lord, help our souls, God. Help our hearts, God. Help us to walk in your will. Help us to do your will. Help us to respond to you. Help us, Lord God, to comprehend your character, your person, your goodness, your mercy, your judgment, and your righteousness. Baraneke debreni shushumedia baranaka data. Ereke debreni shushumedika debreni shushumedia baranitara. Oho jabata. Oho jabata. Oh Jabata, oh Jabata, Erega de Brenisha Subedica de Brenisha Subedigadibidia Tata, oh Baradiga de Brenisha Subedigadibidia. In Jesus' name, you know, I felt I needed to say this. Some of us, there are things you have done, you just felt that I've asked God for forgiveness. At times, it's more than that. At times, you have to be accountable. Accountability breaks certain influence of sin over your soul. You cannot overcome that thing if you are not accountable. You know, some of you did some things and you said, God, you went to pray, God, forgive me, forgive me. Forgive me, Lord. Forgive me, Lord. I'll not do it again. But you met yourself doing it again and again. You know what you lack? Accountability. Accountability changes everything. Accountability makes you... It shows you that you are serious about repentance. I'm accountable. I'm accountable. You're a man, you are married, and then maybe you were tempted with a lady in office. Oga, don't play smart. Don't go and confess your sin in any secret place with God. That's not what you do to God alone. You tell your wife, you go and report to your pastor. You get accountable. I say, Pastor, I want to be accountable to you. I don't trust myself. It means I can have extramarital affair. I want you to check me out regularly. You don't play with some things. See, I just talked to God. Me and God have settled it. So some of you have entered into a cycle of consistent disobedience because you are not accountable to people that could put you to order and put you to check. So we are going to pray that this year is a year of your own accountability. of taking responsibility and following the right thing, the right process in your walk with God. That I'm going to become more accountable, more open, more transparent. Can we lift up our voice and begin to pray? Come on, I want to hear your voices ring out. I want to hear your voices ring out. Oh, Galebreni Asafakadoda. Come on, Barone, Sheleboda. Araluba. Araluba Kaya. Araluba Kaya. Elebroni Asafakado Brendi Shatana. Come on, pray for grace. 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 Parane ke devre me ko jojo meni prandisa para no te veni atabata. Oyala barane ke devre niyaha. Araga la breni eso so vene ke devre niyatabata. Lord, we receive strength this year to be more accountable to you, accountable to your world, accountable to those you have called us to be accountable to. We receive grace. 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 Aragada breni kota baranu kujoto meli prani safaro no tabaya. Arade breni shofere gore breni shofere nte bata. Aragade breni shoso menege de brani akadata. Uvelo bashata. Uvelio no shata. Hallelujah. I felt I needed to say this finally because I understand that we're pastoring a lot of young people. You need to be accountable of your sexuality because you need to be pure and chastised. You know, I remember a story about a brother and sister that were in a relationship. Unknowingly, they were having sex with each other, but nobody knew. They kept it within themselves. But because they were not accountable, Satan took an advantage. You know, the brother now went to, you know, separated for a while, but the brother could not control himself. He started having sex with a prostitute. So all of a sudden, I don't know how the girl knew. She now got angry. As he said, the prostitute started having sex, he went wild, uncontrollable. So by the time the lady now, she now felt bad. She now went to start talking. He went to sleep. He went to sleep. He said, "Oga, when did this sleeping thing start?" He said, I started with her." So when he's left with you, you get quiet. You think you were covering it, Abby? You can't cover it. The guy is now a master at it. I'm telling you that you need to understand when you are accountable, it protects your heart. It puts boundaries in your life. It helps you. So I want us to believe God because I just sense that some of us have that problem. You're not accountable. You want to be covering things. They don't cover some things. They're not going to help you. Any sin exposed is a sin that is weakened. The more exposed it is, the more weaker it is. May God give us grace. Can we lift up our hands? Let's just say this word after me. Say, Father, I receive grace today to, by your Spirit, control a contrite heart, a broken heart, a tender heart, a heart that is tender towards your word, a heart that is tender towards your commandment. Lord, I know that you are good, and I know that you are merciful. But God, I also know that you are severe, and that you chastise because you love us. And so, Lord, this year 2026, I give myself fully to you, to know all of you, all of your goodness, all of your mercy, and to also know you as a Lord that chastises, that disciplines me, so that I can change and become better. Father, I give you thanks. In Jesus' name, amen. Can we just begin to thank the Lord? Let's just thank him.
Words has spirit. Words is life has come unto you. Now is the season to walk in the things spoken. For more messages, visit our website at www.facetagate.org. Stay blessed.